I'm standing next to one of the dams that the beavers in the enclosure here have built. It's a really impressive thing to see.
Well, the end game is sustainability of our population. And I think because as we grow, we need more food, but we need to do it in a way that we're not going to destroy our planet as we go forward.
A lot of the problems that society faces are tricky problems. There's no simple solution. There's often a very bespoke solution for a bespoke problem. And I mean, essentially, that is what I am constantly trying to find.
Welcome to Louder Than Words, the podcast from the University of Essex. I'm Professor Jules Pretty.
And I'm journalist Martha Dixon. This episode is all about sustainability in what we eat and how we use our land.
Academics from the University of Essex show us how they're working with farmers to meet our needs whilst helping save the planet from the biodiversity and climate crises.
Yes, we are discovering new things. It is very exciting.
Finding groundbreaking solutions to age-old problems.
The end point is actually to provide farmers with better crops that yield more.
You just have to look across the shimmering surface of this still pond and watch the flies buzzing around, and the damselflies and the dragonflies all kind of feeding off the vegetation and landing on it. And the more you sit here, the more you see this.
Archie Ruggles Bryce owns a large estate of land in Essex.
And he is making changes to conventional farm practice, planning agroforestry and agroecological approaches for the fields, and integrating the first beavers to the region for hundreds of years.
And the more you sit here, the more you see the sort of bees and the birds all feeding around the place. The kingfisher flashes by, feeding on the freshwater shrimps that have now taken up residence in here because there's water when there wasn't water before. And this is all because of the beavers. So as the estate owners and the farm owners, we haven't had anything to do with the construction of the dams here. The beavers have done it all. They respond to rainfall. They build more and more. They join the dams up. And they start to create an incredibly complex network of ponds and pools. And this is what we're seeing.
The reintroduction of this species is an experiment in partnership with the University of Essex.
Dr. Tom Cameron is supporting Archie.
So there's a lot of excitement about beavers just now in Southern Europe. And particularly in the UK, particularly with the context that we should be rewilding our landscapes. And in the past, we lost our beavers from the UK. They went extinct, and they went extinct through human hand, whether it be habitat destruction, hunting, unmanaged and unregulated hunting and trapping. They went extinct. And so the idea is that we're going to bring them back by reintroducing them, first by understanding what happens when you introduce beavers to a landscape such as ours, and secondly, by then scaling that up. And we're probably at the middle of that process right now, where we've already had quite a few studies that have examined reintroducing beavers, and we're now at the point where we want to maybe upscale.
Archie says the relationship with the University of Essex has been very positive.
What I'd like to do is help the environment, but also do it in a way that is financially sustainable for us. So the partnership with the university is partly around kind of concepts, and partly around sort of, you know, challenging us to say, well, okay, these are the big conversations that are going on around the place, and sort of helping filter that down to our level as sort of practical, you know, what do you do at this field scale type of thing. That's really, really important, because there's so much kind of political and policy making that's going on, but the translating it down to, all right, I've got a tractor and I've got an implement, what do I do with it, rather than, you know, this is the grand scale of stuff. But also then it's also just boots on the ground. So, you know, the expertise that people like Tom Cameron have and others to come out and say, well, have you considered, you know, this aspect of a wetland environment? And of course, you know, being sort of farmers and laymen, no, we probably haven't. But then they can deploy you know, student support or, you know, their own academic expertise to come in and say, well, I know how to measure that and I know how to do it in a way that's kind of statistically rigorous and scientifically rigorous. And that's really important because, you know, we're hoping that what we're doing on the estate will kind of give in other people the confidence to do similar things, even if they don't do exactly what we've done. And to have a sort of independent voice in that saying, you know, yeah, we're recognized as being, you know, top end scientists. And this is what we say has happened. Isn't Archie from Essex standing up and going, yay, look, isn't this brilliant? It's somebody else sort of going, and we know that they wouldn't say it's good if it wasn't. So, you know, they challenge us to say, well, actually, I think you should be doing this differently. Or do you realize you're having a negative benefit here? That's that kind of open dialogue is really important. And the university is fantastic for that.
And how is working with academics good for you in managing the land?
I think it's, I mean, from our perspective, it's really, really, it's a really interesting partnership. I think I would certainly urge any land manager, any farmer who has the ability or the opportunity to connect with research to do it. Even if you don't understand what on earth they're trying to research, or you can't see a practical implementation of it, partly because you never quite know what's going to come out of it. But also what I've realized, and I don't think I'd quite appreciated this before we did all these partnerships, is that access to the land and practical systems for researchers, it's like gold dust. And they get a huge amount out of it. And, you know, you have conversations and you realize things that are blindingly obvious to you haven't maybe been considered just simply because it's a different kind of sphere of expertise or experience. So it's a two-way thing. And I think it's once you build that level of trust, then actually you can get some really interesting kind of almost co-design of research projects coming out of it. It's massively beneficial to both parties, I think.
Climate change is the big problem of our time. It brings with it more flooding, and beavers could be a natural solution to this problem and others. Here's Dr. Tom Cameron again.
So beavers are really exciting for lots of different reasons. So the point of reintroducing beavers is that they start to solve multiple problems simultaneously. They start to hold water in the catchment for longer by creating dams and holding back the water. They do that with relatively little effect on the current ecology of a system, you know, delivering reduced flooding by holding the water in the catchment for longer, by potentially trapping sediments and pollutants that are running off agricultural landscapes. And people want to see them. People are asking to see beavers. So there is an interest. There is a kind of a noise of people saying, hey, we want beavers back in our landscape because we used to have them and you've taken them away from us. So there are lots of exciting reasons to have these beavers back. And largely, you know, I would just let's do it. Let's just do it tomorrow. But there are some checks and balances we should have in place to make sure that they, one, do deliver what they say on the tin. But those people saying, hey, let's have them, are going to deliver all these benefits. Do they? And do they in every scenario? And where should we have beavers? And where should we not have beavers? And, you know, I guess I'm trying to say that as a scientist, I want to be able to provide evidence to help answer some of those questions.
Archie says, as far as his land is concerned, the experiment with beavers is working.
It's a bit early to say whether we've had a conclusive effect, but just standing here, surrounded by the ever-increasing pools that the beavers have created, wetlands within the woodland that wasn't here before, storing many hundreds of thousands of gallons of litres of water, you've got a fairly good idea that perhaps they're doing something useful after all. And maybe this is one of the tools that we can use going forward to help us adapt and mitigate against climate change. Our neighbouring village, Finchingfield, floods every few years. And with climate change and increasing rainfall events and storms, this is becoming more common. So as we manage the land upstream of Finchingfield, we farm it and we manage the woodland, we thought maybe we can store some of that water at times of flood so that the water stays on our land for a bit longer. The water from the other parts of the catchment, the river catchment, go through Finchingfield, and then our water joins it later. meaning that there's not as much water at any one time in the village. And hopefully, over time, as the beavers do their thing, and as our man-made natural flood management measures also cause more flooding on our land, this will safeguard people's homes in the face of increasing storm events and rainfall.
This unique partnership between academics and farmers is also throwing up another benefit, learning.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
University of Essex students out and about on their modules, learning about the land, is a positive thing for the future of sustainability, says Tom Cameron.
So we've been taking students to Spains Hall to see the first site of beaver reintroduction for over 400 years in Essex. And this is really exciting to be able to work with Archie at Spains Hall to be able to take students to see this, because nobody's seen beaver habitat. It's a species that hasn't been in Britain. So unless you've deliberately gone to one of the other reintroduction sites, or you've been to Scandinavia or been to North America and seen these habitats, then this is brand new. And it's more exciting at Spains Hall because it wasn't a wetland originally. It was a woodland, a dry woodland at the surface with a water table that sometimes created flooding downstream. And so the beavers have entered into a relatively dry woodland with a small stream, and they've turned it into this thriving, dynamic ecosystem with dams and pools that you can see with your eye. So yes, I'm excited about getting students in the field all the time. We go out, we can sample insects, we can sample biodiversity, we can look at the nutrient cycles in streams, but we can't see that in the context of rewilding and restoration without actually going to a site like that. And I argue that the skills are important. Yes, they really are, and they need to know them. But I argue the experience is more important. Meeting the person that did it, meeting the people that are behind it, and seeing that Archie isn't just a single lone farmer delivering a project. He's working with the Environment Agency. He's working with several universities to try and demonstrate that this beaver reintroduction, this little animal, can change an ecosystem and deliver real benefits, such as it is appear to be delivering, slowing the flow of water and preventing flooding downstream. And the students get to see the role that they would have in the future if that was their job, to gather evidence that changes hearts and minds, that gets to people to think, actually, no, that species coming back from the brink wouldn't necessarily be negative for my farm. And my land, I could see times when this would be beneficial. And it's beginning to change those hearts and minds, and other farmers are beginning to think, I want a bit of that.
So my name's Christine Rains. I work at the University of Essex, and I'm a professor of molecular plant physiology. And the work that I've been doing over the last 30 years has been trying to understand better the process of photosynthesis, the way that plants capture sunlight and turn it into food.
The University of Essex is involved in many projects where the long-term goal is a sustainable planet. This one is particularly fascinating, as Professor Christine Rains explains.
Well, as we know, there's a growing population. There's changes in climate, and therefore the situation is that we need to continue to improve the output from our crops. We have only so much land on this planet that we live in. We know, and people know this. And we've only got so much of that land that's available that's good enough on which we can grow our crops. And so therefore we can't say, let's just use more land to make more food for the growing population. What we have to do is find a sustainable way to use the land that we already have, the high quality land that can deliver the yield. And therefore, the only way to do this is to get more productivity per unit of land. And that's the sustainable aspect of this approach.
Christine says the three decades of work she has put into this photosynthesis revolution have led to a fascinating journey. The latest projects are funded by the Gates Foundation in the US.
Well, you know, photosynthesis is a wonderful process. I mean, if you just look at the simple equation that describes it, you know, you get CO2 from the atmosphere, out comes oxygen, and then you make sugars. Yes, we are discovering new things. The work that we're doing is partly focused on introducing modified proteins into plants, more of the same protein into plants in order to improve the photosynthesis process. But although that in and of itself isn't discovery, that's application of prior knowledge. In the application and the output from the analysis of these plants is revealing new things that we did not know previously. And I think that's really what's the exciting thing of this work. So a lot of the work that we do is using genetic manipulation in order to understand better how we might make better crops. But we're also looking at pre-existing natural variation. And we know very, very little about this. It is very exciting because these are large, the projects that I'm involved in and don't involve just one person working away on their own. These are large multinational projects that are being carried out across the world.
Working in the labs with Christine is Senior Research Officer Patricia Lopez Calcagno.
She's excited about the pioneering nature of this work.
Photosynthesis is this incredibly complex process. It has about 170 steps and a lot of sub-processes within it. And it's really important because it takes light, sunlight, and CO2, carbon dioxide from the air to make food. It's what makes food. So photosynthesis is like a factory. It can only be as fast as its slowest step. And we have identified some steps where there's not enough machinery. Essentially, we have bottlenecks. So what we're doing is we're giving the plant more enzymes and more proteins that will work as that specific machinery is required to overcome those bottlenecks. When we overexpress or introduce these genes at the same time, we get significant increases in biomass. Under field conditions, under real agronomical conditions, we're getting up to 27% increase in biomass.
Working alongside Patricia is technician Kenny Brown. He says the impact of this work done by the University of Essex is far-reaching for our planet.
Crop breeders are excited by just 2% increases in biomass and yield. 2% is a very large amount of food. Where we're seeing 27%, this is massive. So it would really go some way to producing the food that's needed by 2050. One unexpected and quite exciting result was that for every carbon that the plants take from the environment, they use less water to do so. And this has implications for farmers across the world as they'll be growing crops in a droughted environment given climate change. And this may go some way to provide the tools that they need to alleviate the stresses that they'll face in the future.
So we need the biodiversity in the landscape, such as these beavers, and we need the new crop types to ensure we're producing enough food. You've been listening to the Louder Than Words podcast from the University of Essex.
This episode was all about the Earth, how we treat our planet, and how projects at the University of Essex are providing groundbreaking paths to a greener future.
Thank you for listening. You can find all our podcasts, as well as more information about the contributors and their subjects, at the Centre for Public and Policy Engagement website at the University of Essex.